So Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word today, and just help me just share some thoughts and ask for your anointing, Lord, as I share. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were all filled with great fear. And the angel of the Lord said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is called Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So, you know, we've been asking the question, what does Christmas mean to me? Or what does Christmas mean to you? And, you know, to the angel, the angel comes. And from this short passage of scripture, this is what the angel says: "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." So just, it's good news. You know, we have a message of good news. You know, and sometimes, you know, the gospel can seem a little bit old-fashioned or a little bit for, but it's actually great news. It's that God came so that we could be reconciled to him and he could come and live in us. That is absolutely great news. And then it says, of great joy. I tell you, when that happens, it's just like the joy level in your heart just explodes, doesn't it? It's like the God who created the heavens and the earth comes and lives in us. And it's for all people. It was lovely today. You know, if you look around the church, and we're not in a particularly multi-ethnic area, Bridgend, but we have people from India and Afghanistan and Africa and the Philippines and Asia. It's just fantastic, isn't it, that this message is for all people. It's not for just, you know, there's this perception. I remember when Jamil first came to church, Rose had invited him and he was young. I don't know how old you were then, but he was young. And by the providence of God, for the first time that I can remember happening in this church, we had somebody from the Indian subculture speaking. And he had always thought Christianity is for white people. And there was somebody with brown skin telling of the wonders of Christ. And the amazing thing was, he didn't know any English then, and they both had their mother tongue, but they knew another subcontinent dialect that they could talk and communicate with to each other. And suddenly his whole worldview of Christianity changed by the providence of God. Only God could have arranged that. But it's for all people. Men, women. You know, it's open to all. That's great news. It wasn't just for the Jews. It was for the Jews and the Gentiles. And what's the good news? A Saviour will be born in the city of David, Bethlehem. The Saviour's to be born. And there's a need for every man, woman and child to have a Saviour. And he was born on Christmas Day. Now we understand that doesn't necessarily mean the 25th of December. But there was a day in Bethlehem when a Saviour was born who is. And this is the important thing. He is. Not he was. who is Christ the Lord. And that's the message we have this Christmas. That's the message we have after Christmas. It's that a Saviour for mankind was born, and he was the Christ. He was the Messiah that the Jews were looking for. And he was Lord of all. So we have this amazing Christmas message, but if you go and take a flip chart down to Bridgend High Street and you say, what do you think about Christmas? Most people in Bridgend today wouldn't say a Saviour was born for me in Bethlehem. The Independent newspaper, that they wrote an article about what we spend at Christmas. British people spend £19 billion on Christmas presents. They eat 380 million slices of turkey. Christmas is good news for us, but if you are a turkey, watch out. We pull 154 million Christmas crackers. We'll visit 257 million friends. I don't know where this stuff comes from. It was in the paper, but I don't know if it's true or not. It's just, but we do visit lots of people. We travel 5.6 billion miles across Christmas. We spend £379 on average. That's average. Buying 22 gifts for people. £4.9 billion on nights out at Christmas. And we endure those 154 million cheesy cracker jokes. So, you know, Christmas is like, you know, that's like Christmas, isn't it? Christmas is like partying and turkey and presents for the kids and drinking maybe more than I should, eating more than I should, spending more than I should. It's just, you know, that's how people see Christmas, don't they? And as a Christian, we say, well, Jesus is the reason for the season. And somehow he gets left out of the season for most people. But here's the thing, is they come around the peripheral of the good news. So four ways people come around the peripheral of the good news. Firstly, they come to nativity concerts. Do you know, in this very building, next week, there'll be 1,000 people here hearing about Jesus the way the students or children of Pennebont School say it. And all around the country, millions of people will go to a nativity. I mean, our kids are too big for nativities now. But we went to a nativity. I starred in a nativity this year. We had one here in the church. Nativities. That was last week at the Christingle. But you think millions of people go to nativity. And there's been sort of a resurgence of nativity as a sort of a kickback to crossing Christmas out of the calendar, getting rid of Christmas trees, getting rid of this. And it's like people, no, we want our nativity show. Now they might not believe in Jesus, but they want their nativities. But when you go to nativity, you go around the peripheral of the Word of God. The second thing that happens at Christmas is people attend church. Do they really? Well, more people attend church at Christmas than any time of the year. The latest annual statistics for mission report of the Church of England says that while traditional Sunday attendance is edging lower in long-term trends, the numbers attending Christmas services increased by 3.4%. to 2.68 million. So that's in the Church of England. 2.68 million people went to church. And what's interesting is it's the fourth successive year that attendances have increased at Christmas. So what the statistics are showing is that people don't bother with church, but at Christmas, they're more inclined to come. That's why we do things at Christmas, is because, you know, it was great. This Christmas at the Christingle, we had about 150 people in here hearing about our Jesus. Tonight we'll have loads of people here. We'll have loads of visitors here hearing about Jesus. Why? Because people are more inclined to come to church at Christmas time. And that points us to the third thing, because people like to sing Christmas carols at Christmas. So the third thing is, they sing Christmas carols. And as Lynn has so wonderfully pointed out, Christmas carols are full of the Word of God. So let me give you some examples. God rest ye merry gentlemen. Tidings of comfort and joy, according to this carol, come from knowing that Jesus Christ our Saviour was born to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. I don't know that. I know the refrain of that particular carol. But that's what people are singing when they're singing, God rest ye merry gentlemen. Hark the herald angels sing. We learn that there's a newborn king. That God and sinners be reconciled. So we're singing, hark the herald. We'll sing that. I think we'll sing it. I don't know. We'll sing it tonight. But we'll come, and people who don't know Christ will be coming, and they'll be singing that sinners be reconciled with God. So they're closer to the peripheral, or the Christ in heaven's highest heavens adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. We'll all be singing that tonight. Silent Night. I don't know if we'll be singing that one. Who knows Silent Night? Who remembers that it says, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawning of redeeming grace. They're the words of Silent Night. You ask the average person in the street who likes to sing Silent Night, what does redeeming grace mean? They don't have a clue. But they're closer. Joy to the world. We heard about this earlier. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Every heart. I don't know. I probably know most people in this room, but just to ask, has your heart opened up to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you prepared him room? Oh, come. Let us adore him. Just underlines. And I think we're singing that one. I don't know. I don't obviously arrange it. I did read everything, but you know, I just know it's going to be in good hands. But that's what Christmas, that's why we come together, to adore Jesus. So the fourth thing I thought of that brings everybody closer to Christmas, the number one show on TV on Christmas Day is not Fools and Horses. It's not, they don't do Top of the Pops anymore, Christmas special, I don't think. Or Doctor Who. It is the Queen's Speech. The number one show on TV this Christmas, or last Christmas, was the Queen's Speech. And I'm hoping this Christmas it'll be the Queen's Speech too. It brings in about 7 million people, just under 7 million people. And she regularly shares good news in her speech. So I thought it would be quite nice to listen to the Queen's Speech. I won't try and put a Queen voice on. That would be disrespectful and it would be painful as well. This is what the Queen says. Today we celebrate Christmas, which itself is sometimes described as a festival of the home. Volunteers and charities, as well as many churches, arrange meals for the homeless and those who would otherwise be alone on Christmas Day. We remember the birth of Jesus Christ, whose only sanctuary was a stable in Bethlehem. He knew rejection, hardship, and persecution. And yet it is Jesus Christ's generous love and example which has inspired me through good times and bad. Don't you just love the Queen? The Christmas story retains its appeal since it doesn't provide theoretical explanations for the puzzles of life. Instead, it's about the birth of a child and the hope that birth 2,000 years ago brought to the world. Only a few people acknowledge Jesus when he was born. Now, billions follow him. I believe his message of peace on earth and goodwill to all. is never out of date. It can be heeded by everybody. It's needed as much as ever. A very happy Christmas to you all. That's the number one show. So people are on the peripheral of Christmas. They're hearing about making room in our hearts for Jesus. They're hearing about this Saviour. They're hearing these things. They're enjoying them. And I think maybe those of us who are older, we look back with nostalgia at Christmas, when the earth and the world seemed a bit of a more simpler place. So Jesus is the reason for the season. So here's my challenge to us as Christians. We need to ask the question, if Jesus is the reason for the season, what can I do to put him at the center? So I've just got three ways. Number one, open your heart to others and maybe think about outside your immediate family. Christmas is a family time, but we can extend that to others, can't we? Do you remember this Christmas hymn? I'll read it to you, not sing it, you know me. Try to imagine a house that's not a home. Try to imagine a Christmas all alone. That's where I'll be since you left me. My tears could melt the snow. What can I do without you? I've got no place to go. It'll be lonely this Christmas without you to hold. It'll be lonely this Christmas, lonely and cold. It'll be cold, so cold, without you to hold this Christmas. Okay, that was Mud. Number one in 1973. Lonely this Christmas. Do you know, that has had 20 million YouTube views. And the next one coming up is Mary Boy's Child, Jesus Christ by Boney M. And that had 2 million YouTube views. There's a lot of lonely people at Christmas. Do you know, Age Concern found that across the UK, 500,000 older people are expected to feel lonely this Christmas. For half of those, loneliness has become a normal part of life. Again, this context, it is little surprise that more than 500,000 people aged 65 and over aren't looking forward to Christmas, because for them it's just another day. Wow. That's just over 65s. There's a lot of lonely people at Christmas. And they see all this stuff on TV, family time, you know, around the telly, around the turkey, and they're lonely. You can make a difference. You can't make a difference to 500,000 people, but you can make a difference to one person. Maybe you can make a difference to one person in this church. Do you know, when we have Christmas, last year, Phoebe just said, "Oh, can I have a friend come on?" So we had a friend and her mother, because they were just by themselves, a single parent. And we had a great Christmas. And then a few years before that, we had a phone call regarding a North Korean refugee, and through our Korean contacts, do you know anybody who could put up a North Korean refugee for 6 weeks? So I thought, I know somebody, my mother. Maybe I'm not that generous, but it was my mother. So my mother had a North Korean refugee for 6 weeks. But at Christmas time, you know, she came to our table. You know, she had gone through the famine of 90, whatever it was, in North Korea. And there she came to our table and experienced a family Christmas setting. Do you know, my unsaved brother, who comes at Christmas, usually if he's around, never knows who's going to be around our table. But what I have is I've got to, we look out for people at Christmas, and we can't have 1 million people at our table. But we can invite one person. And you can't invite 1 million people, but you can open your heart and invite one. And maybe it's really, really hard to invite them for Christmas dinner because of the family and the dynamics that go on. But could you invite them over in the evening? Or invite them over on Boxing Day? Or you know, but just open our hearts. We have a lot of single people in the church here. Could you look around and spot a single person and say, I want to invite you. I don't want people to be lonely this Christmas. But it takes all of us to look around. The Bible says this. Romans 12, verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Last week I quoted Hebrews 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You know, some of our funnest dinners after church is when a family's come and I said, oh, do you want to come for tea? Lunch. I've always learned to go and talk to the chef first these days to make sure we have enough food or what have you, or I'm sent up Sainsbury's to buy a cooked chicken. But it's just like, who knows? Have I entertained angels? Have you entertained angels? 1 Peter 4, verse 9 talks about our attitude. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. You don't think, oh no, I've got to invite somebody because Alex said, or the Bible says, oh, it's going to ruin my Christmas. Well, that's the wrong attitude, really. And you know, don't do it because I said it. It's about open heart. Open hearts, loving people. So that's the first thing we can do at Christmas. Second thing is share your hope and faith in Jesus this Christmas. Luke 2, verse 20, it says of the shepherds, they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So they just spoke about what God was doing. It's like tonight we've got our main evangelistic event. I know people come in and it's great. And it is a, I suppose you could call it a seeker-sensitive event. It's like an opportunity to talk about our Jesus. But you don't need church services to talk about Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon me and my sermons were the same and my presentation were the same. It's just that lots and lots of people got saved. And what he's saying is that he just spoke as he had always spoken, but lots and lots of people got saved because the Holy Spirit was working. And you know, tonight I'll speak as I always speak. But wouldn't it be wonderful if lots and lots of people get saved because of the Holy Spirit working in their lives? The challenge for us is to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And Christmas is just one way to do it. We want to reach people with the love of Jesus, don't we? But we want them to experience the love of Jesus for themselves, and that comes through believing in this God's Son. Number three, be generous with what God has blessed you with. Christmas for me starts in September. Because in September, I buy my Christmas presents for myself, not for anybody else. Because I make one order from the United States of games, because people know that's my hobby, games. And so for the next sort of 2 months, I am on all the sites looking for the best bargains. It would be called window shopping in the old days, but now it's just called, you know, going on the internet or what have you. And by November, I'm signed, sealed, and delivered. And Jane jokes about it because I do all the work for myself because I have to, well, I don't have to do anything, but I do it. But the funny thing about Christmas is it's not meant to be about ourselves, is it? Today isn't, and this season, we shouldn't be totally focused on ourselves. Jesus says it's better to give than to receive. Do you know, how many people really enjoyed giving presents to their children at Christmas time? If you still have to, isn't that like one of those like magical moments when the sort of turning of the ages, it's just like my kids coming down for Christmas presents, it's just like, and you see them, and don't you just want to give them everything they ask for, you know? When they ask for a car, and when they ask for something you can't give them, well, you know, you can't fulfill every dream, but you fulfill their dreams. Let's give and be generous. Let's give to others and be generous. Well, giving to others doesn't mean necessarily buying a present or spending any money. It can mean giving something of yourself, something of your time, something of your love, something of your home. But let's be a generous people. I want to shout out to our church. Is that okay? I love this church. The Hands of Compassion Fund has raised over £1,000 to help fund hampers and help give to people in need in Christmas. It's over £1,000 this month has come in from you guys. And last week we gave £1,000 to Housing Justice that you gave last month. And I'm not sure when next week we're putting hampers together and they're going to go out to people in the church, people connected to the church, people outside the church. We also partner with two charities that help in homelessness with the Wallich. We'll do hampers for the Wallich. We'll do hampers for Llanmair. Just fantastic, you know, because of your generosity. You know, so I love this church. And I just, you know, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, I know that you know to love one another and that you are doing it more, you are doing it and excelling at it. But I write to you to say, do it more and more. And it's like, we can always give more, can't we? And I don't mean more of your money necessarily. I'm not trying to get any money out of you, take an offering or anything. But we can give more of our love. And love is not a passive thing. Love's an active thing. You know, maybe you can visit someone this Christmas. Maybe you can give your time to help someone this Christmas. Maybe you can give a seat at your table with your turkey this Christmas. Maybe you can just, I don't know, but if you think about it and you ask God this question, how can I be generous towards somebody this Christmas? And just if you sit in the quietness of your home, you know, God will drop a thought in your heart. And you go, I can do that. I can do that. You know, we make a difference one heart at a time. One person at a time. So thank you for your generosity. Christmas is about giving. But it's about receiving as well. And we receive the greatest gift that God has ever given. And that's his son. John 3, verse 16. It's been translated into over 2,000 languages, says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And it's the gift of eternal life. But you know, to receive the gift of eternal life, you can't be at the peripheral of Jesus. He can't be outside. He's got to be inside. We need to make room in our hearts for him. And the Bible says he stands at the door and knocks. And he's knocking for us to open our hearts. The only gift you can give God, really, is your heart, yourself. And to do the things that I'm talking about, what I'm really saying is, why not incarnate something of Jesus in our relation to our neighbors so that we can love our neighbors as ourselves? But it does take a decision. Jesus uttered two words that have gone down history. He just said, follow me. Follow me. And we follow him by taking the first step to ask him into our hearts, to come and live in our hearts. And I suppose I would challenge you this Christmas when you're thinking about giving and when you're thinking about receiving, is that why don't you give your heart to the Father, that by His Holy Spirit you can receive His Son into your heart. Should we just pray? Heavenly Father, we want to thank You that Jesus is the reason that we celebrate Christmas. Father, we want to thank You that He is the gift of Christmas. And Father, I would pray, and I ask, Lord, that You would make Him real to everyone here. Father, that as I think about the things I've said and they've heard today, that we would all make room in our hearts for Jesus. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that You would make Jesus real to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to ask the worship team to come back up.